You know?
Yeah.
Okay, take care.
Thank you so much.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the more than 50 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit OnStar.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
The views expressed on Inside Scoop do not necessarily reflect those of the station owner, management, or staff of WAGE.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And there is a lot to talk about. Today, of course, we had Tom Ridge go on the air saying that there are specific threats to specific buildings in Washington, D.C., and to specific buildings in New York City, in Jersey City, New Jersey. He raised the terror alert to orange. And I want to talk about Tom Ridge's raising of the terror threat in connection with, really, how do we fight the war on terror. Now, all last week, we have been talking about the Democratic National Convention. We've been talking about Kerry's phenomenal speech. And in fact, I'm going to be playing a lot of that speech for you tonight. I want to discuss Kerry's plan for Iraq, Kerry's plan to fight terrorism, though, frankly, I have problems with that phrase, war on terror. I don't think we're fighting terrorism per se. I think we're fighting a certain brand of Islamic fundamentalism, and I think it is important to call the war what it is. So I want to talk about Tom Ridge's alert. I want to talk about Kerry's speech at the Democratic National Convention. And I want to hear from you. Now, I know that on my blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com, one of my listeners, a conservative listener called Ben, he actually posted a video from the Republican National Committee, from the RNC, it lasts about 11 minutes long, that attacks John Kerry pretty fiercely, attacks him as a flip-flopper on the war on Iraq. And I actually want to go through that video because I think the video is instructive, one, of the way that the Republicans, you know, fight their campaigns, and two, the kind of rhetoric they're using. And I guess the question is, do they think that we're so simple that we don't get it? I don't think the people who made the video are so simple-minded, such idiots, that they really don't understand John Kerry's more nuanced position. I don't think so. I think they're trying to trick us. But, you know, what do you think? Do you think they really don't understand what Kerry thinks? Or do you think they're just pretending not to understand in the hope of convincing the American voter? I also want to talk about what happened in Pakistan. You may not have heard about it, but I reported here on the Inside Scoop just a few weeks ago a report that first came in the New Republic magazine from the Pakistani intelligence services that said that George Bush and the administration had pressured them really hard to find an al-Qaeda, some operative, someone, and they should do it on the 26th, 27th, or 28th of July, the first 3 days of the Democratic National Convention in Boston. Well, they missed by a day, but an operative, and not necessarily that high level, but an operative was discovered on the 29th of July, just hours before John Kerry gave his speech. I'm often accused by some listeners of having all these conspiracy theories, but, you know, this one clearly panned out. We talked about it here on the Inside Scoop 2 weeks ago, and lo and behold, right there in the Democratic National Convention, right there, July 29th, they find this al-Qaeda operative. So I think, should we expect an October surprise? Should we expect that Osama bin Laden is in an area and we know where he is and we're just waiting until it comes close to the election? So on all these issues, I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. My internet tonight is down. You're not going to be able to reach me by email. Feel free to continue to comment on the blog. But if you want to comment here on the air, you got to give us a call. Toll free, 877-577-2667, which is 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can dial locally, 703-777-1200. I want to start by talking and playing a good bit of John Kerry's speech, because I think in his speech he talks about when it is appropriate to go to war. And I want to hear, you know, what you think about it, and I want to comment on myself. So let's listen in.
I am proud that after September 11th, all our people rallied to President Bush's call for unity to meet the danger. There were no Democrats. There were no Republicans. There were only Americans. And how we wish it had stayed that way. Now I know know that there are those who criticize me for seeing complexities, and I do, because some issues just aren't all that simple. Saying there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq doesn't make it so. Saying we can fight a war on the cheap doesn't make it so. And proclaiming mission accomplished certainly doesn't make it so.
Well, that's a pretty strong line, isn't it? I mean, what is he saying there? He's saying that you can't just say we've won the war. You can't just say mission accomplished. There are complexities there. And I think that John Kerry's position on Iraq is complex, but you know what? It's not that complex. And when we go through all the Republican National Committee's attack video, and we have to ask why, of course, they're doing an attack video, but when you go through the attack video, what it does is it shows John Kerry's positions on various days. It shows a calendar, and it shows John Kerry's position on this day, that day, the other day. And it launches into the song Flipper, nice little cute song, of course, about Flipper the Dolphin, and tries to make fun of John Kerry's flip-flopping. Let's go through that video. Let me read to you some of the things that it says that John Kerry said in the video. Because as I watched the video, I was nothing but so much reminded as that these are my views. In fact, virtually everything John Kerry said, I agree with. Maybe I'm a flip-flopper. You know, let me hear from you. 877-57-SCOOP. Here's what John Kerry said. And what's interesting, by the way, is all these clips are from Fox News. I guess that's the only channel that the Republican National Committee watches. First, they show way back, February 22nd, 1998. And they say that John Kerry said that if necessary, we might have to send ground troops into Iraq. And that perhaps he was way ahead of Bill Clinton on that. Well, I don't disagree that ground troops may be necessary in certain circumstances. That, of course, is what John Kerry is saying. It moves on to 2001 and says that we have to have inspections. We have to have inspections, UN inspections, to see about weapons of mass destruction to put pressure on Saddam. Well, I also agree with that. I agree with those inspections. I very much thought we should threaten Saddam and send those inspectors in to make sure that he is not indeed creating weapons of mass destruction. I should note that, of course, it's kind of false to throw all in biological, chemical, nuclear weapons, all in weapons of mass destruction. Biological and chemical weapons have been around since World War I, since mustard gas was used in the trenches. And although they're not certainly not pleasant things, it's important to remember that biological and chemical weapons have never, you know, killed as many people as good old conventional weapons. People who used our planes to fly into buildings killed 3,000 Americans. The worst modern chemical attack that I'm aware of is the sarin attack in the Tokyo subways that killed several dozen people, which is certainly significant. But really, since conventional weapons are more dangerous than today's chemical and biological weapons, they create fear. I mean, we've had the anthrax attacks, and they killed maybe almost a dozen people. But it's nuclear weapons. They're the real weapons we have to worry about. And I think if Saddam Hussein were developing nuclear weapons, if he had been developing nuclear weapons, we would have a right to take them out. After all, Israel in 1982 took out the Osirik nuclear plant. Saddam Hussein was developing nuclear weapons in 1982. Israel bombed the plant, was promptly condemned by Republican President Ronald Reagan, but I think Israel did a good thing in very much helping us. And I think we would have a right today to take out nuclear plants by Iran and North Korea. Note, I don't say by England and France or Israel or India, because those countries are democracies. But when you have a dangerous country like Iran or North Korea, a dictatorship, developing a nuclear weapon, I think that is grounds for knocking it out. So I agree with John Kerry. I'm not a pacifist. I'm not there with the left wing of the Democratic Party. He said we need inspections to put pressure on Saddam. He also says in these early videos shown by the Republican National Committee that the goal should be regime change. Well, I certainly agree with that. I certainly supported the goal of regime change. Saddam Hussein was a terrible regime. That's a goal I supported. Kerry then goes on to show his support of Israel. Well, that's not inconsistent with anything. Then the same RNC video, the one that's going to sing the song Flipper, shows that John Kerry says that if weapons of mass destruction is a threat, that this is a threat that we have to be concerned about. Well, I agree with that. Again, I don't see anything inconsistent here. And he goes on to say Iraq has violated certain UN resolutions in the Clinton era. I agree with that, too. Again, I don't see any inconsistency. None yet, certainly. I do think it's important, though, that those that say, oh, well, Kerry had the same intelligence that Bush had, that's not true at all. Please do not say that the senators that voted for the war resolution had the same intelligence Bush had. We know that's not true. We know that Cheney was going down to the CIA manipulating intelligence. We know that the national intelligence estimates were changed again and again. And none of this was reported to the Senate Intelligence Committee until after the fact. So please act. And I think it's just trying to persuade Americans who don't know the inside scoop of how intelligence is given. So it goes on, this Republican attack video, which is 10 minutes long, kind of thing you can really only see on the Internet. And it shows that John Kerry voted to threaten the use of force. Again, where's the inconsistency? We did see, by the way, Howard Dean. Howard Dean said that John Kerry, and it shows in the RNC video, it says that John Kerry was wrong to give the administration a blank check, wrong to allow the administration to threaten the use of force, to go to war if Saddam Hussein did not allow inspectors back in. Well, in hindsight, Dean may well have been right. It may well have been wrong to give a president of the United States, as incompetent as George Bush, a blank check to go to war. But John Kerry, in good faith, trusted the President of the United States, as much as he disagreed with him, to do the right thing. The only thing you could possibly criticize John Kerry for in his voting for the war resolution was that he mistakenly trusted Bush. He mistakenly believed Bush when Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He mistakenly believed Bush when Bush said that war was a last resort, not a first resort. And, yes, those were mistakes by John Kerry. His only mistake was trusting Bush. But lots of Americans trusted Bush, too. And yes, I can agree that was a mistake. But where's the flip-flop? It's no flip-flop when you have a Senate resolution, and the Democrats, after all, don't get to write the resolution. The Republicans control the majority of the Senate. You have a resolution that says, you know, we give the president authority to go to war, And we expect him, as John Kerry said in his force speech, we expect him to use that threat, because you have to have the threat of force to make a dictator like Saddam Hussein comply, to make that dictator allow UN inspectors back in. So what happens? Well, Saddam Hussein let the inspectors back in, and they didn't find anything. And even a country like France said, well, we'll give the inspectors 30 more days and see if they find anything, and then we might support war. And, of course, we said no, arrogantly, we don't need you, France, or any other country. We're going to go to war, whether he has the weapons or not. That, my friends, is something Kerry never voted for. Goes on in this RNC attack video to say that Kerry voted for the $87 billion to fund the troops before he voted against it. And that sounds like a flip-flop. Except, of course, that it wasn't the same resolution. There were two resolutions authorizing funding to the troops. Both authorized $87 billion for the troops. The first said we would pay for it. The second said we would borrow from the Chinese and the Japanese. We would take from Social Security Trust Fund. We would make our children and grandchildren pay twice and three times the taxes to pay for the $87 billion. Kerry voted for the resolution that is pay-as-you-go, that says if we want to go to war with Iraq, we should pay for it now and not make our children pay for it, didn't vote for the resolution that borrowed a ton of money, like maxing out on your credit card, that hardens the economy and makes us indebted to the Chinese, Japanese, and to children of the future. Is that inconsistent? Well, the Republicans think so, because it's about right now in their video that they start the little flipper song. Very cute, but who are they trying to fool? One of my favorite quotes they have, in fact, in this video, is they say, Kerry, are you anti-war? And he says, yeah, and he starts to go on, and the video cuts off. I'd be curious to know what he finished saying in that sentence. The sum total of it is that Kerry voted to allow a president to go to war if necessary, and he didn't authorize the president to just go in and mismanage the war. I don't think that's inconsistent at all. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you if you've seen that video, what you think of it. If you think, I mean, please explain to me. I have asked Republican after Republican to explain to me precisely how Kerry is a flip-flopper. They say he's a flip-flopper on Iraq. I just explained that. It's a complex position. It's a more nuanced position, right? It's not, we go to war no matter what, but we go to war if it's necessary. Frankly, I don't think it's that complex. I don't think it's that nuanced to say we should only go to war if we have to. And that's certainly what Kerry said in his speech. So when we come back, I'm going to be playing more of John Kerry's speech. And again, if anyone can tell me where carries a flip-flopper on the war in Iraq, let me know. I don't understand it. I think Kerry's Iraq policy makes a lot of sense. But we'll discuss it more when we come back. If you want to dial in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can always send, you can call locally, 703-777-1200. Can't send an email today, but we're welcome to take your calls. We'll be back with more of John Kerry and his position on Iraq right after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, on Catoctin Circle in Leesburg. Anderson Windows, long live the home.
Here we are at the beginning of the 21st century, a time of rapid change in technology. At NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, we spend a good part of our day using the latest technologies to provide our customers with the most reliable electric service possible. Simply put, when you hit the switch, the light comes on, the toaster toasts, the oven cooks, and the computer announces you've got mail. The rest of our day is spent using slightly older business methods. For more than 60 years, we've dedicated ourselves to making our communities better places to live and work, lending our time, resources, and support to organizations that make real differences in people's lives, embracing the future while holding on to our heritage. Some things are meant to change. Some things are not. We're NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com. NOVEC. I got the power to move ya.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about Iraq, the war on terrorism, Kerry's foreign policy versus Bush's. And I think I put at rest any of these silly charges that Kerry's a flip-flopper. If you disagree, you could certainly call in 877-57-SCOOP. Try to demonstrate one to me. I haven't seen one. If you live here locally in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, you can call 703-777-1200. But I also want to talk about Tom Ridge today. I want to talk about his claim that we should be worried about an attack in specific places. Do you think it's a political thing that's going on here? What is the underlying this? I think it's not. I actually think it's not a political attack, but we can talk about that. And also, the July surprise. The story first reported in the New Republic and confirmed here on the Inside Scoop a few weeks ago that we were pressing Pakistan really hard to find bin Laden on specific days. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pressure Pakistan to get bin Laden. Frankly, I wish we'd done this for a couple years. We've taken troops out of Afghanistan and put them in Iraq, and I think we very much need to press Pakistan. But we never gave a specific date until just a few months ago, when, according to officials in the Pakistani intelligence, White House aides are telling them, quote, it would be best if the arrest or killing of any high-value target were announced on 26, 27, or 28 July, the first 3 days of the Democratic National Convention in Boston. Well, I was accused of conspiracy theorist by some of my conservative listeners, but lo and behold, what do we find out? July 29th, one day late, hours before Kerry's speech, they found their one, at least, al-Qaeda operative. In fact, apparently they found them a few days earlier, but didn't announce it until July 29th. Is this a coincidence? Is this a conspiracy? I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can call locally, 703-777-1200. I have on the line Larry from Falls Church. Larry, you're on the Inside Scoop. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mark. I enjoy your show, but I really think that I disagree with you about something.
Okay.
I think there's a political connection between the current raising of the threat level to orange and the end of the Democratic convention. I think, as we just heard on CNN News, Bush's numbers are down and Kerry's numbers are up. And this is a way to change the focus of the news from Bush's lowering of his numbers to the increasing of Kerry's numbers by all of a sudden talking about the threat level.
Well, Larry, I certainly don't put this beyond the Bush administration. I certainly think that I can name a specific example. In fact, in the past, when we had Kerry doing well in the polls, and then Ashcroft came out with this non-specific threat. This was actually when the 9/11 report was about to come out, and they wanted to sort of change the topic from that. And I remember that Ashcroft asked Tom Ridge to raise the threat level. Ridge said no, to his credit. It was a very non-specific threat, and apparently, you know, it bowled over. Nothing really happened. I happen to think in this case there may really be a threat. Now, I have my eyes and ears open. I'm looking to see what's going on. But it was very specific. They named the IMF. They named the World Bank. They named specific financial centers in New York and New Jersey. And I have to say that suggests to me that we may be dealing with a very specific threat this time. And I think that, I hate to give this president the benefit of the doubt. We just talked about the fact that that's what John Kerry did when he voted for the war resolution. But the fact that the threat is specific, I don't want to, I guess, suggest conspiracy theory unless I have a little bit more evidence of it. And I think the fact that it is specific, frankly, this is something that we Democrats were pressing the Bush administration before to do, that we shouldn't have any of these non-specific threats, these things that make everybody afraid, that hurt our economy, that don't do anything. But specific threat shows, I think, that Tom Ridge has been listening and at least is giving us specific stuff. Do you disagree?
I disagree. I think the real problem here is everybody predicted that John Kerry was going to get a spike in his ratings after the election. He got a spike in his ratings, and bingo, Tom Ridge comes up with the orange level in Washington and New York. If it had come at a different time, I might go along with you, but I disagree with you, Mark.
Okay, well, I respect your opinion, and I want to thank you very much for your call. You know, the problem is it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. You know, the Bush administration has so many times, for political purposes, announced these things. And we know, in fact, we know, for example, and this has been admitted by Karl Rove, that they didn't announce the idea to go to war in Iraq in August 2002 because, as Karl Rove put it, you don't roll out a new campaign in August. You wait till September. So that's when they announced the war in Iraq. So we know that timing is very suspect on a lot of these things. They'll catch someone and then wait 2 months later till an important time to name it. So I think that Larry's right, that there are definitely suspicious times in the past. And maybe I trust this president too much, and I don't trust him very much at all. But, you know, Tom Ridge, I still have a little respect for him. He plans to resign if Bush gets a second term, as does Colin Powell. Both of them, I think, have had it up to their necks with the stuff that's going on in this administration. And so I think that they, I guess I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for this. I'll tell you this, though. We've got to remember that these attacks keep coming to New York, they keep coming to Washington, and that the funding to stop the attacks, there's more going per person to Wyoming than to New York or Washington. It's all about giving money to the states and things like that. And I think that's regretful. But, you know, remember they saw the memo. Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States, and we were upset that they did nothing about it. George Bush was playing golf at the time. So I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. I have to think that they're looking out for America's interests. And hopefully that maybe John Ashcroft would be that political, but Tom Ridge would not be that political. I do want to think of one thing, though. Bush keeps saying that the reason why we are in Iraq is because we want to fight the terrorists in Baghdad, don't fight them in New York. Well, Mr. President, why then are we talking about an attack in New York? If somehow the war in Iraq makes all the terrorists leave the United States alone, which I don't think makes any sense. I don't understand the logic of it. If that's true, then why are we still getting alerts in New York? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand the president's logic. Hey, if you do or if you don't, again, feel free to call in. Toll-free number 877-57-SCOOP or locally 703-777-1200. We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to play more of John Kerry's speech and talk about when it is appropriate for America to go to war. When is it appropriate? Should we go to all wars we want to fight or just those we have to fight? We'll be back with more right after this.
Education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Edanywhere.com can help your students. We confront issues head-on with proven programs and methodologies. If your child has poor grades, reading, writing, or math difficulties, school attendance problems, a poor self-concept, or lack of motivation, edanywhere.com can help with tutoring in specific subject areas, remedial help in reading, writing, spelling, English, math, science, and social studies, GED test preparation, and accredited high school diploma programs. Edanywhere.com provides a middle and high school curriculum that is delivered 24/7 on the Internet for self-paced, independent study. At-risk students in school systems nationwide have been enrolled with a success rate in excess of 85%. Register for classes now by calling 703-4ED-0805 or by downloading from www.edanywhere.com. Education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Committed to leaving no student behind.
America's best-dressed sandwich can be summed up by one word, Blimpy. And a mouth-watering, overstuffed Blimpy sub is just around the corner at Blimpy's newly remodeled new location on Catoctin Circle at the Amoco Station in Leesburg. Also next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Stop by soon and try some delicious new wraps, including the Southwestern with turkey, bacon, and guacamole, the barbecue wrap, chicken Caesar, zesty Italian, beef and cheddar wrap, or the ultimate BLT wrap with capicola, cheddar, and bacon. And what makes a Blimpy sub so delicious? Start with a fresh baked roll, now available in your choice of honey wheat, sesame seed, poppy seed, zesty parmesan, white, and wheat. Stack it high with fresh meats and cheeses fixed to order with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, peppers, and all your favorites. Plus, get a free 12-ounce coffee on Mondays. Stop by the new Blimpies today on Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, and don't forget the other locations next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Blimpies also has great employment opportunities.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital the government does not want you to know. We're talking about John Kerry's plan for Iraq and when it is appropriate to fight a war and the kind of things he would look to before deciding whether to fight a war and comparing them to our current presidents. And then coming up at the end of the hour, do you know about the Republican test to let people listen to Republican rallies? It's in Albuquerque. Apparently, to hear Dick Cheney, you had to sign an endorsement that you support the Republican Party. We're going to talk about that, and we'll also talk about the administration, someone in the administration, asking a photographer what race they were, to find out what race the photographer was before allowing them to photograph Dick Cheney. So we're going to talk about all of that. For now, I want to talk about John Kerry, his war in Iraq, and his views on it, when he would go to war. And if you want to call in and comment, you're always welcome to do it. There's a toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can call locally, 703-777-1200. You can put a comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. I'm afraid I can't read your comments tonight, so you'll have to call in if you want to be heard on air, though we can reach them later. Let me go on and play more of John Kerry's speech and see if you can tell me if you agree or disagree that this is the appropriate way a president should approach a war.
And demand hard evidence. I will immediately reform the intelligence system so policy is guided by facts and facts are never distorted by politics. And as president, I will bring back this nation's time-honored tradition. The United States of America never goes to war because we want to. We only go to war because we have to. That is the standard of our nation.
Well, that's a big, important question. Should we go to war just because we want to? Should we go to war because there is, you know, some oil For example, in Iraq, we know, again, from Paul O'Neill's book, former Treasury Secretary, we know that George Bush was planning 10 days after becoming president, January 30th, 2001, to divide up the various oil fields of Iraq. Should we just go in because, hey, we need oil? We are dependent on foreign oil. It makes our country run, and we need a steady source of oil. Of course, this president is very much against alternative energy, things like hybrid vehicles that we're starting to see on the road. Or even, I was in recently, a car powered entirely by soybeans. George Bush doesn't support that, though. That doesn't help oil companies, and although it would reduce our dependence on foreign oil. So if we need oil, maybe we have to just go in and take it. Or should we just go in because, you know, we have to? Should war be reserved for that? The other thing, of course, that John Kerry said is that he wants to reform the intelligence system so policy is guided by facts and facts are never distorted by politics. That's really important. In fact, I plan to devote the entire show tomorrow on the 9/11 Commission and its report and how to reform our intelligence. Let me just say, though, that it seems to me that intelligence should be just what it says. It should be information. It should be a body not controlled by the president, but a body of dedicated civil servants, Americans not controlled by either party, who simply want to give us the best intelligence there is. That intelligence should be intelligent, and that they should gather up all the evidence, present it to the policymakers, and let the policymakers decide what to do. And don't let the policymakers complain, oh, we had bad intelligence and they were guiding us one way or the other. You get the intelligence out there. But the intelligence makers shouldn't make policy. The CIA shouldn't do covert action, or maybe the CIA, you know, shouldn't be directing the intelligence. But they need to be separated, because we need to get unbiased information. What we know is that policymakers, through direct use or indirect use, you know, sometimes it's through the president really pushing people, you know, please find a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, that we get manipulated intelligence. It seems sometimes that the president decided to go to war with Iraq first, January 30th, 10 days, when he was dividing up the oil fields, and then later developed the intelligence to meet that. And I think it should be the other way around. I think, as John Kerry does, we should get the intelligence first and then decide whether to use it, whether to go to war. You know, an interesting thing was just reported today on one of the back pages of the Washington Post. You might have missed it if you didn't read it carefully. And it shows that the entire case, the entire administration case that there was some connection, some serious collaborative relationship between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, was based on one Al-Qaeda operative that apparently we tortured. We would not say whether we tortured him or not. In fact, we got specific approval to use some of these increased interrogatory methods against this guy, right? And this one guy, apparently under these increased pressure, other people call it torture. This one guy gave us all the information that Colin Powell used, that Dick Cheney used, that the president used, and now, of course, now that he's not under torture and not threatened with torture, he retracts that information. We based all of it. We based a war on one guy who we tortured. That only speaks bad about whether we're getting good information by torturing people. It also tells you that if this president had not wanted to go to war so badly, he wouldn't have misused this information. He wouldn't have tried to manipulate the American public and thinking there's a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. But I want to go on and play more of Kerry's speech, because I think that he does show an understanding of what it's like to be there on the battlefields. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a veteran to be president of the United States, but I think you should appreciate the dangers of war. And I think Kerry's pretty clear that he does that. Let's play more of the speech.
I know what kids go through when they're carrying. I know what kids go through when they're carrying an M16 in a dangerous place and they can't tell friend from foe. I know what they go through when they're out on patrol at night and they don't know what's coming around the next bend. I know what it's like to write letters home telling your family that everything's all right when you're just not sure that that's true. As president, I will wage this war with the lessons I learned in war. Before you go to battle, you have to be able to look a parent in the eye and truthfully say, I tried everything possible to avoid sending your son or daughter into harm's way, but we had no choice. We had to protect the American people, fundamental American values, against a threat that was real and imminent. So lesson number one, this is the only justification for going to war?
I'd like to know if anyone disagrees with that, that a president of the United States should have to be able to look an American parent in the eye and say, I tried everything possible to avoid sending your child to war, but this was the only thing we could do. This we had to protect the American people against a real imminent threat. We had no choice. And I think by those standards, there are wars that are of no choice. I, along with 99% of America, of course, supported the war in Afghanistan. Virtually every one of both parties supported that war. We were attacked. 3,000 Americans were killed. I would also, in some limited circumstances, support a preemptive strike if we knew that a threat really was imminent, if we knew that a country was developing nuclear weapons and planned to use them. And frankly, it might be justified against North Korea or Iran or Israel's attack on Iraq back in 1982, but of course we had no evidence of that, no evidence of nuclear war. And of course, Kerry goes on to say it's not just a question of war, it's a question of what goes on after war.
And on my first day in office, I will send a message to every man and woman in our armed forces. You will never be asked to fight a war without a plan to win the peace. I know what we have to do in Iraq. I know what we have to do in Iraq. We need a president who has the credibility to bring our allies to our side and share the burden, reduce the cost to American taxpayers, reduce the risk to American soldiers. That's the right way to get the job done and bring our troops home. Here is the reality. That won't happen. That won't happen until we have a president who restores America's respect and leadership so we don't have to go it alone in the world. And we need to rebuild our alliances so we can get the terrorists before they get us.
I want to stop there for a moment because I hear from a lot of the Republican operatives, people on Crossfire and so forth, they're going on saying, well, you know, Kerry's policy isn't that different from Bush's policy. Bush tried to get world support, didn't get it, and that shows that the United States could never get such support, and so Kerry's isn't any different. You know, it always strikes me that when the Democrats have a proposal and the president reluctantly accepts that proposal, that then it's almost like, well, what are the Democrats' new ideas? You know, this has happened time and time again. Let's just go over a few things. The Department of Homeland Security, proposed by Senator Joe Lieberman, the idea was that we would bring in all this information from all these sources and examine it so that we know about a threat, so that we would share information, we get all the information in one place to be examined. Of course, Bush opposed it, completely opposed it, fought against it, tried to get it stopped in Congress. The Homeland Security Department was so supported by the American people that the president did an about-face. And he said, okay, all right, fine, I'll support the Department of Homeland Security, but only if the workers have no rights, only if they won't be able to unionize, only if they won't be able to have whistleblower protections, the protections that allow a worker, if he sees fraud going on, he sees a lie going on, if, as Colin Rowley did in the FBI, you report a threat to your superior takes no action and you want to, you know, tell others about it, your job's protected. You can't be fired for telling the truth. George Bush didn't want any of these protections for workers because to do that, well, I don't know why he didn't want these protections. One could argue, indeed, they make us safer because they prevent cover-ups. But he didn't want these protections, and so he put that poison pill in the Homeland Security Department. And then when a true hero like Max Cleland, senator from Georgia, decided to vote for the part of Homeland Security, but not with the poison pill, not with the part that denied worker protections, then they ran a campaign that this Vietnam vet, Max Cleland, who lost an arm and two legs serving his country, was somehow unpatriotic because he felt that it would make our country stronger to have a Homeland Security Department with worker protections. My point is that this is a case where Bush came around to the Democratic point of view, and in doing so, he switched it, changed it, tried to undermine the department, and in fact is continuing to undermine it to this day, setting up an entirely different off-the-shelf intelligence agency, the Terrorist Threat Integration Center, to undermine the Department of Homeland Security. In fact, the 9/11 Commission, which is set up, is talking about combining intelligence together in a different way when we already have the Department of Homeland Security. My point is the same is true with Iraq. We have John Kerry who said we need to reach out to our allies. We need to reach out to them and help pull American troops out of Iraq. In fact, I heard Kerry today say that there'll be a significant reduction of American troops in Iraq in his first term. He can't be more specific because he's not president of the United States right now, and he needs to allow room for negotiation. So he can't lay out his entire plan, which I think makes sense. But the point is that he can reduce the troops because he can get international support where Bush can't. Well, I have Republicans say, what? That's ridiculous. Why would the world support Kerry where they don't support Bush? And at the same time, they say, oh, and all those world leaders that support Kerry but don't support Bush, well, they're just ridiculous. We don't care what world leaders think. It does. It does matter what world leaders think, and it is true that a different American president can accomplish the same thing that the...
Let there be no mistake, I will never hesitate to use force when it is required. Any attack will be met with a swift and a certain response. I will never give any nation or any institution a veto over our national security, and I will build a stronger military.
Now, wait, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I will never give any other nation or institution a veto over our national security. So don't believe those Republican attacks that says that John Kerry is going to put our military under the control of the UN. It's just not true. And why is it that they have to do these negative, wrong attacks? We'll be back with more of this right after these messages.
Some men commit violence against women. We all pay the cost. But there are people in our communities working to end this violence. Virginians Aligned Against Sexual Assault recently honored 10 men for their efforts to end domestic and sexual violence. Here is a message from one of these men of vision.
Hi, this is Chris Bjornson from Longwood College. Young people today are exposed to an ever-increasing number of different and often unhealthy models of masculinity and femininity. I try to teach them that every person deserves the highest level of respect, both in our attitudes and our actions, in order for us to be able to live in a culture where people work together rather than against one another.
For information about how you can help end this violence, or to find help if you've been a victim, call the Virginia Family Violence and Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-838-8238.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're going through John Kerry's speech. We're sort of dissecting it, going through his plan to help in the war in Iraq and to help in the war against Islamic fundamentalism, a war that's often wrongly called the war on terror. Terror, of course, is a tactic. And the question is, who are we fighting? And we're fighting the Islamic fundamentalists. And I have to say, I think that John Kerry may just surprise you in the fall, because I think he will get a lot of support of active duty military, people in the reserves, people fighting in the services, their families, veterans as well, because this is a president that's really looking out for the military, for the troops. Let me play more of the speech.
We will add 40,000 active duty troops, not in Iraq, but to strengthen American forces that are now overstretched, overextended, and under pressure. We will double our special forces to conduct terrorist operations, anti-terrorist operations, and we will provide our troops with the newest weapons and technology to save their lives and win the battle. And we will end the backdoor draft of the National Guard and reservists. To all who serve in our armed forces today, I say help is on the way. A as president.
And I think that's important, right? I mean, this has been a backdoor draft. Whether you support the draft or not, I don't think you can support a backdoor draft. Most Americans don't support the draft. But when people sign up for the National Guard, they don't expect to be sent for a year or two over in Iraq. I mean, it's sort of striking. Of course, we had President Bush join the National Guard 30 years ago when no National Guard members were sent to Vietnam. He was in the Champaign unit, a unit specifically designed for sons of powerful politicians so they wouldn't have to go fight. And, of course, we all know that he went AWOL, absent without leave, from that unit, didn't show up when he was required to show up, didn't take a flight physical, quit his job as a pilot after a significant hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent on his training. So reservists are not supposed to be drafted, and I think it's important that Kerry will end the backdoor draft. But he also understands it's not just a question of fighting with military force. There are lots of ways to fight a war. Let's play on.
As president, I will fight a smarter, more effective war on terror. We will deploy every tool in our arsenal, our economic as well as our military might, our principles as well as our firepower. In these dangerous days, there is a right way and a wrong way to be strong. Strength is more than tough words. After decades of experience in national security, I know the reach of our power, and I know the power of our ideals. We need to make America once again a beacon in the world. We need to be looked up to, not just feared. We need to lead a global effort against nuclear proliferation.
Well, let's stop there for a second. Let's think about that. You know, I think sometimes people think that America's strength is in its military power. They say we're the most powerful country in the world, and they think, oh, well, that's our nuclear weapons. If you think that way, then what does that do? That encourages dictators, North Korea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, all of them to develop nuclear weapons themselves. To say, well, we can be the most powerful country in the world. We have to understand that it's our ideals that are powerful. And one of the things I think this administration is very weak on is the question of nuclear proliferation, is the question of whether we're allowing terrorists to get nuclear weapons. I mean, this is the whole reason, supposedly, for the war in Iraq, right? That's why we went there. We're afraid of a mushroom cloud, as Condoleezza Rice put it, over the United States. And yet Bush has done virtually nothing to stop nuclear proliferation. In fact, AQ Khan, the Pakistani intelligence official that was selling nuclear weapons to North Korea and to Libya, was pardoned by Musharraf of Pakistan, and we just let it go. We totally let it go because we wanted to catch those Al-Qaeda operatives during the Democratic National Convention. But nuclear proliferation is actually relatively cheap. We had a bill when I worked in the Homeland Security Committee. We had a bill that would have cost about $4 billion to buy up loose nukes in the former Soviet Union, to go to Uzbekistan and Ukraine and various countries where you've got shadowy figures selling nuclear warheads. Now, $4 billion sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But it happens to be about 1/50th the cost of Iraq, about 2% of the cost of Iraq. So, and think about it, $200 billion, that's maybe, so that's $600 every man, woman, and child so far going into Iraq. And nuclear proliferation would cost about $12 for each person. That's the difference. Is it worth that $12 to make sure that these nuclear weapons don't go to a terrorist that can bomb us? George Bush said no. He threatened to veto the bill. He said his tax cut was more important. But I think that the Democrats, and John Kerry has got the focus on it, have understood that homeland security does begin at home, that we can't prevent attacks on New York by fighting in Baghdad, and we have to worry about New York. And that's why I was very glad to hear him talk about homeland security. Let's hear what he said.
To keep the most dangerous weapons in the world out of the most dangerous hands in the world, we need a strong military, and we need to lead strong alliances. And then, with confidence and determination, we will be able to tell the terrorists, you will lose and we will win. The future doesn't belong to fear. It belongs to freedom. And the front lines of this battle are not just far away. They're right here on our shores. They're at our airports and potentially in any city or town. Today, our national security begins with Homeland Security. The 9/11 Commission has given us a path to follow, endorsed by Democrats, Republicans, and the 9/11 families. As president, I will not evade or equivocate. I will immediately implement all the recommendations of that commission. We shouldn't be letting 95% of our container ships come into our ports without ever being physically inspected. We shouldn't be leaving nuclear and chemical plants without enough protection. And we shouldn't be opening firehouses in Baghdad and shutting them in the United States of America.
And that's a pretty strong point. And I don't think a lot of people understand and know about Bush's position on preventing, for example, first responder money, money going to police, money going to firefighters, money going to the same people that saved us from the September 11th attacks. I want to conclude tonight by playing a John Kerry clip on patriotism, because I think it's very important for people to understand what it is that we're fighting for. Who are the patriots in America? And, well, let's hear from John Kerry.
And tonight we have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth and their ears, they should remember what America is really all about. They should remember the great idea of freedom for which so many have given their lives. Our purpose now is to reclaim our democracy itself. We are here to affirm that when Americans stand up and speak their minds and say America can do better, that is not a challenge to patriotism. It is the heart and soul of patriotism.
Now, you may know that George Bush has gone on the heart and soul tour. He is specifically mocking John Kerry's phrase that those who would disagree with him are the heart and soul of America, that those who would disagree with the way this war is being conducted, those that would dissent, those that would give another idea, try to reclaim democracy, he says it's not a challenge to patriotism, it's the heart and soul of patriotism. George Bush actually had the audacity to mock that, to go on the heart and soul tour, to in effect go back and challenge those who disagree with him, to challenge their patriotism. If there's one reason above all I think we do need to elect John Kerry this fall, it's because we have a president who's going around mocking people who would dare challenge him. My friends, that's not a democracy at all. And I think that that's been shown. I said I'd tell you about this. Just recently in Albuquerque, there was an event. Vice President Dick Cheney was speaking, and they made sure that every single person that attended that event either had contributed to the Republican National Committee, contributed to the Bush campaign, or signed a declaration that they would vote for Cheney in the fall. A number of uncommitted voters were actually turned away. The purpose was ostensibly to keep Democrats from putting signs up, pro-Kerry signs, in the audience, as Bush supporters are doing constantly in Kerry rallies. But I ask yourself, if the Republicans are turning away uncommitted voters, do they have any chance of winning in the fall? That's it for the Inside Scoop. Our time is up, but tune in tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Inside Scoop.
AM 1200 WAGE, Leesburg and Loudoun County, is your sound choice for news.
People doing research on where they might strike.
The alert level has been raised in New Jersey. Governor Jim McGreevy.
We have received previous intel information regarding the financial services sector, but the information that we received on Saturday was site-specific.
And it's now code orange in Washington, D.C., Mayor Anthony Williams.
Go about your daily business. If you're going to work at a certain place at a certain time, continue to do that. If you're going to shop, you're going to entertain friends, whatever you're going to do, continue to do that, because what we're protecting here is our way of life.
The Department of Homeland Security upped the alert based on what it calls unusual information on possible targets of Al-Qaeda. Director Tom Ridge says the info is precise.
Reports indicate that Al-Qaeda is targeting several specific buildings, including the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in the District of Columbia, Prudential Financial in northern New Jersey, in Citigroup buildings and the New York Stock Exchange in New York.
Ridge expects the high alert status to remain in effect at least through the elections. The rest of the country will remain at code yellow. John Kerry may not have gotten the convention bounce he had hoped for. A new CNN USA Today poll shows Kerry running slightly ahead of President Bush among registered voters, but trailing among likely voters. The sound of an explosion in Baghdad, one of a series of church bombings in the country.